Let me ask you a question. When you pray, when you ask God for something, do you believe that it's going to happen before you ever see any results? Or do you walk away and really, really hope that the answer is going to be yes, really hope that God's going to provide, but there's that little seed of doubt, that little bit of worry still carried with you every day that it might not happen? What if it didn't have to be that way? Well, today we're going to meet somebody who, in his most desperate moment, his child was about to die. He was able to give us an example of how to pray, to believe it, and leave it. And God rewarded him for that. Maybe it's not so impossible for us. It's all coming up today on She Read It Herself. Hi. Hi, how are you? I'm doing pretty good. I haven't said this in a while, so if you are new here, hello. My name's Natasha, and She Read It Herself is a community of all these other incredible women. Say hi, ladies. And we're all here because we are imperfect women of faith, but we're trying. We know we're supposed to read our Bible, and maybe it has been difficult in the past. Some of us, hand up, have even avoided reading the Bible like the plague, no pun intended, because we thought of it as boring and inapplicable for our modern lives. But it is a necessity. It's almost like going through your life as a Christian with one hand tied behind your back. That's what happens when you close yourself off from Scripture. So we're doing it for ourselves. We are reading it for ourselves, and we're going through it together, and we're learning incredible things as we go through Scripture, just a few nuggets at a time. So that's what we do on She Read It Herself. I am so glad that you're here with us. And we left off last episode actually taking a little detour. We have been going through the book of John a few verses at a time, and it has been incredible. Like, I had no clue how much I was personally going to gain from reading one of the Gospels. Thought it was just the story of Jesus, but oh no, there is some depth to it. But we took a little detour last week. We did it for me because I had started reading James, and I just could not believe the way the first handful of verses in James wildly applied to my life at the moment. It was just one of those crazy goosebumps moments, and of course, I had to share it with you. So we took a little detour, but now we're back. And this whole concept that we're going to go over today, guys, oh my goodness, it feels like no matter what we do, it just wildly applies to my life at the moment. But this one really does. If you guys know me, then you know my current situation is we found out recently that we can't continue our rental. And by we, I mean me and my three children. Single mom here with three kids who depend on me, obviously, for everything. And we can't stay in our rental like we thought we'd be able to. So I have 2 months, a little less than 2 months now, to find a home. And God has miraculously opened doors so that I can buy my first home. At least that's the path that he's been leading me down. I don't know 100% if that's the door he's going to open or if he is going to close it and move us towards a rental. I don't know. All I know is he will provide. And I have peace about that. But to be able to pray, and for I'm just going to use my circumstances as the example here, to be able to pray and say, God, I ask that you send us a home. I ask that you provide us with a home where the kids and I are going to be safe and happy, and that we stay in the same school district for the kids, and that we can get in there before the end of July. And to be able to leave that prayer expecting that it will happen, walk away, not crossing my fingers and, gee, I sure hope God's going to answer this one, but still walking away with that little seed of worry. And by maintaining that little bit of anxiety, it's almost like I take a little bit of doubt with me. Because, I mean, let's be honest, breaking it down, by walking away from my prayer with God, not taking peace in knowing that He will supply, walking away just hoping He does means I'm doubting. And what we're going to learn today in John about this royal official who was in a desperate situation, his son was near death, it folds in beautifully with what we learned from James last week about praying without doubt. It's neat when the puzzle pieces come together, isn't it? I swear it's almost like there's a bigger plan. But let me not get ahead of myself. Let's get right into the scripture, okay? Since it's been a couple weeks, let me give you a little recap of where we left off, because there has been some drama. There's been some drama going on in Samaria and Galilee and all over the place. We last left off after meeting the woman from Samaria, the woman at the well. And if you remember, she is the unlikely one that God chooses to show who Jesus is, to give this great testimony and to reach an entire group of unbelievers. She's not only a woman, which, hello, not exactly somebody that all the men were going to listen to, especially back then. She had had 5 husbands. That would be extremely frowned upon today, much less back then when a woman couldn't just go get a divorce from her husband. But she was also a foreigner. She was from Samaria, and the Jews and the Samaritans did not share a lot in common. They really didn't mix very often. So we have here this foreign woman that, well, let's just say others would slut shame. And she is the one that Jesus used. And man, did it go off in big ways. In verse 39, it says, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Woofty. I love it. And it's just going to get even better. But I also, before we read these verses, I want you to trigger that little memory of when we talked about Jesus at the wedding, turning water into wine. Do you remember this? It was back in John chapter 2. Jesus turned water into wine at this wedding he was attending. And he did it somewhat in secrecy. He didn't do it as a big miracle for all to see, because as he says, it was not his time yet. Only the disciples, Mary, and the servants were aware of what he had done. Now keep all of that in mind as we keep reading, because you're going to start to see how God's sovereign plan is peeking out just a bit, and it's incredible. Okay, John 4, 43 through 54. If you have your Bible, go ahead and read along. Grab your journal so you can make some notes. If not, keep those earbuds in. Keep cleaning the kitchen, driving home from work, going about your day, doing whatever you're doing. I'll go ahead and read it here, but go look later, okay? Verse 3. When the 2 days were over, he went from that place to Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in the prophet's own country. When he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the festival, for they too had gone to the festival. Verse 46. Then he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed the water into wine. Now there was a royal official whose son lay ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to him, sir, come down before my little boy dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started on his way. As he was going down, his slaves met him and told him that his child was alive. So he asked them, what was the hour when he began to recover? And they said to him, yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him. The father realized that this was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he himself believed, along with his whole household. Now this was the second sign that Jesus did after coming from Judea to Galilee. All right, there's so much to unpack here, and I promise I'm going to do it in the next 15 minutes, but oh, it's good. So first of all, we're back in Cana, I think it's Cana, C-A-N-A, where the wedding has happened, meaning we're back in a place where Jesus had already performed one miracle. And the news was starting to spread about not just what he had been preaching, but also the miracles he was starting to perform. And I don't know about this official, how he came to find out about Jesus, if it was from the water turning into wine, if it was from others starting to talk. And honestly, it's not important. We don't know exactly why he believed, but we know that he came to Jesus in faith. He came believing that he could. For me, that's what stuck out the most in these verses. It was verse 50. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he left. He didn't ask and then kind of hope for the best, which I don't know about you, but that's the way I've prayed a lot in the past, praying with hope instead of expectation. And my goodness, can you just put yourself in his shoes? If this had been me, and heaven forbid, my child was mortally sick, like was near death, doesn't it just kill you where he says, "Sir, please come down before my little boy dies"? The most desperate of circumstances a parent can possibly imagine. I would have gone to Jesus. I would have begged him for mercy, for a miracle. And as I would have gone home, I can't say I would have had the faith that this official did. I think I would have been wringing my hands with worry, going, "Oh, I wonder if his fever is still up. Has he died by now? Have I missed it? No. Jesus is going to answer. But wait, let me have a backup plan in the back of my mind. There is that doctor we could go to or that hospital." My mind would have been a swirling hot mess. But do you remember last episode? When we talked in James 1:6, ask in faith, never doubting. We're not called to ask and then hope for the best. James tells us, don't be like a wave in the sea when you pray and you ask. Ask in faith. Ask with the expectation and the gratefulness that you know it's going to happen. This has been a tough habit to break, to be honest, to believe in him answering when I ask, to really believe, not just say the words. Now, this doesn't mean I should believe I'm going to get exactly what I ask and when I ask it, because we all know that's not how it works. But we do know certain things. We know that God promises to always take care of us. We know Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. We know about the promises that I'm always beating you guys over the head with, not just the Romans 8:28, but the Jeremiah 29:11-13, John 20:29. I mean, there's a ton of them where God promises he's going to give us peace. He's going to give us wisdom. He's going to take care of us. And not just take care of us, but to bless us wildly if we remain in his will, if we have faith. Let me see if I can give you an example of how kind of when it switched for me from struggling to pray with hope instead of expectation. You guys know I like to, when I read these verses originally, I like to jot down notes in my journal about what was going on in my life at the time and how it applied. If you're new to reading scripture this way, I encourage you to go back to episode 1, where we get all in depth about how to start reading your Bible with meaning. But part of it is journaling. So when I go back to these verses, here's what I wrote about what was going on in my circumstances. I think you're going to find it relatable. I wrote that I had been praying and asking a lot of God lately, that he would give me a way out with my circumstances, At the time, it was about settling my divorce. I had already gone through one extremely painful, felt like never-ending, 8-year-long divorce process that just about killed me. Not even joking. And yes, this was my second divorce. This is before I chose husbands, not that I've chosen one now, but at the time when I was choosing husbands, not waiting on God's partner, but trying to fulfill my own needs at the time. So of course, second marriage, not working out, husband wanted to leave. And the divorce process, the custody process, it was getting ugly. And I needed it to be done. We needed to move on with our lives. The girl's father had just died 6 months before. Like, we needed a fresh start. And just the animosity between the lawyers and my ex and I, it was so unhealthy. And I wanted it to end. I made a note that I had been really meditating and repeating in my head Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That's the important part. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That does not say, let's hope that you get a peace that man can't even wrap their mind about. It is a promise that when you believe, you will get that peace that... Have you ever had it before? I guess it's unexplainable, but it's basically a peace that you logically shouldn't have. Your circumstances do not warrant you being that at peace. It is a beautiful thing, and it is something God promises to give us in any and every situation. So I had been meditating on that verse and bringing myself to a point where I could believe when I asked that God was going to give me that peace. I was asking that my divorce be settled and done with, but having faith that He would give me the peace and the fortitude to continue on without worry. I didn't know when or how He was going to end my divorce, but I believed that I would have the peace I needed to get through it. So having that faith led me to, when I read verse 5, that this guy, that he believed it and he left, and Jesus blessed that. It was a sign I needed. I was like, okay, I believe it and I'm leaving it. I'm going to stop worrying if God's going to come through or not. Which, to be honest, right after I got to that point, and I'm talking maybe a couple of days after writing this in my journal, begging that God would give me a way out. Just like the official and how Jesus answered his prayer, God answered mine. I got a text from my ex, and you have to understand, we were not communicating at all. It was all being done through lawyers. There was so much animosity and defensiveness. Like, it was not a safe place to be communicating with each other whatsoever. So for me to get a text from him saying, hey, can we talk? I'd like for us to settle this and be done. Can we talk without the lawyers? That was something nobody saw coming. It was on none of my family's bingo card for how's Natasha's divorce going to get resolved. But it's exactly what happened. And I had total peace going into that. I went and I met with him. I didn't get into any fights. I didn't give in to anything I wasn't comfortable with agreeing to. We had a short and civilized conversation and settled our divorce within 20 minutes, right then and there. It was done and off of my plate. And it was done with something that I could live with. I believed, and the miracle happened. It happened because God is good and He loves me. He loves you. He wants to give us these things. He wants to give us the massive peace while we're going through hell. He wants to give us the wisdom. But we have to believe that it's going to happen before it does. That's the lesson I'm taking from these verses. You don't want to know what else is cool? Go through the chain of events, and by the time you get to you know, now I've gotten the text, I've settled my divorce, I asked in faith, and then it happened, and guess what? Now I get to share that testimony with others, so they then can believe. The royal official believed because he knew about the wedding where Jesus turned water into wine, and because he believed Jesus healed his son. And then because of that, his entire household believed, which as a royal official, I'm guessing that was a lot of people. And they would then go and tell their friends and their family. And you see the chain of events, how one fits beautifully into the next. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it helps me when I'm in the middle of a circumstance I don't understand to have faith that it's somehow going to fit beautifully in God's sovereign plan. Seems out of whack in the moment, but I know it's not. I've seen enough to know. I know the same is true for you too, that it's all part of this bigger plan that we can't possibly imagine, which I get could sound daunting, but instead, what if it just gave you peace? Peace in knowing that I can't see how all the blocks are going to fit together, but I know they will. I can just know and leave it. I hope that was helpful, you guys. I hope you get the same like stupid grin and excitement that I get out of this. It's just been so life-changing, and I'm bursting at the seams to share it with you because I know that you are incredible, hardworking women also. If you enjoyed this, please keep going with the chain of events. Please share it with another woman of faith so we can keep going and the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And then, you know, on the things podcasters always ask you for sign, if you wouldn't mind hitting follow or subscribe so you get these episodes whenever they happen. And please, sharing is caring. Leave a positive review. Just click the 5 stars if you think this was good. Leave a little comment. And the reason why I ask you to do that so much is because then Apple will promote my podcast under the spirituality category. So that's why I mooch so much. All right. I'm going to let you go now. And as always, you can reach me on Instagram at Ms. MS Pink Monster if you want to chat more. Have a beautiful day, and I will talk to you on Thursday. Bye, guys.